get started.
So Stephen, you'll have to remind us where we were last time and what we had discussed.
We were talking about making sure we populated the cache and not to turn off the algorithm.
Oh, yes. That's right.
While we were still doing
an optimization.
Yeah, a couple optimizations. I would change the 100% to 95.
Okay.
Or it has to be below that in order for you to turn off the cache, algorithm. And a couple other changes. So I have the results actually on the website along basically the summary bar graph.
Okay.
It's for each, it shows the LRU, the stable LRU with population, ARC, stable ARC, and ARC, stable ARC with population all together. It's where the all the stuff has been, the special cases.
Okay.
Let's select any of them.
Alright.
And that's the summary of the information that you can see.
Okay. Maybe this is a little bigger. Oh, I can't make it bigger. But maybe I can click through.
It's originally a lot bigger. I have it set at 450 or so pixel.
That's good enough. Yeah.
Height on the website.
Yeah.
For some type of formatting. So.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Right. So tell us what's going on the x-axis.
The x-axis should be...
misses, hits.
Yeah, hits, misses, T evictions, B evictions. I actually don't think I was able to fix the T and B yet. I focused a lot on the other stuff and just trying to get a lot of information at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So, but you can still see it. There should be a reduction. I think there, even with some of those duplicate T evictions and B evictions that are probably being counted.
Okay. The total number of hits and misses should add up to be the same number for all of these, right?
Yeah, they should.
Okay. Okay, and right now we're just looking at the ARC ones for the T and B evictions.
Yeah,
and
LRU state and anything that was the LRU had no T or B evictions. I just put them at zero.
Oh. Yeah, so there's certainly significant reduction in evictions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the misses are increased.
Slightly,
and the hits are reduced slightly. Yes, by the same amount. Interesting. Okay. And let's see the evictions. Hello.
Hi, Jason. I mean, Roger.
Yes.
I need you for a minute. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
I said you're right for once.
Yeah,
okay.
Just need to click this in.
Okay.
All right. So maybe we'll see you later. So
part of the analysis that I was also getting was the, I called it set information, but I'm pretty sure we're actually looking at working sets and all that. And I have on the y-axis the number of unique addresses accessed until that time. On the
y-axis. And the timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that way you can compare it. And there are some cases that you can see how our algorithm performs and why it does that, especially in a case with the stable phase or so.
Okay, that's very good. Let me look at a few more of these charts, then we can look at the timeline.
Yeah, I think source 2.1 was the best one to see that somewhere.
Source 2.1.
So you see the big...
By the way, why are there two charts here? One, oh, these are
different
granularities.
Yeah, these are different granularities in cache sizes.
And
I felt that to group them all together would potentially make it too confusing. So here you see that actually LRU, stable LRU with population and ARC actually perform roughly the same for number of misses and hits. But as soon as we have stable ARC and the stable ARC with population, we have much better number of misses and hits. Now, in part, I think it's because of And it's only seen actually within this situation with a 1 gigabyte and about 1,000 granularity.
Hmm.
If you look at the working set information.
Go back here.
One more. Right below the summary. You can see that's the working set. You see these long time right there of just constant. We haven't added anything new that we hadn't seen before.
Hmm.
Now, you may remember that with the thresholding, I found that case to be particularly interesting.
Here, this one?
Mm-hmm. You remember just how it was doing this, it was going back. So, let's go back. So what I noticed is that about the same time, about 30,000, where it actually starts to stabilize, is when that happens. And if we go down to the LRE, to the ARC population down here, we see both of them just drop all the way down to zero miss rate right about then and stay there for essentially until there's the next phase change.
No, hold on. I'm lost here. So here the always on is...
green. Oh, the red line is actually where we should be filling up our cache by.
Okay.
That was you. That was just found using the information from the set chart.
Hmm.
It's not exact. It's a little bit more estimated simply because I couldn't account for every single access. So it's rounded to about 500 right now, which is all right, especially for doing it on a graph right now.
So, and the y-axis is misses, correct? So this entire duration, there are very few misses for stable arc and stable arc with population.
Yeah.
Whereas always on is continuously missing.
Around that time period, yeah.
Wow. This is a good storyline. Okay, so now let's look at maybe one more and then we can go back here.
All right. I'm trying to think of any that stood out as much. Not really ringing any bells at the moment.
Let me look at probably one of these other ones.
So those have improvements as well based on the information.
Well, the hits have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
And the evictions are reduced. Okay, so we are on to something here.
Some of them, I think for the most part, will stay about the same, if not increase a little more in the worst-case scenarios that I've seen. But
increase meaning worsen?
Worsen. Number of misses. I'm usually focusing on that because that's what we really want to reduce. Same thing with the evictions.
Right. Okay.
So...
So I guess the question is, have we found a bulletproof technique that guarantees that our misses are not going to be significantly worse? Or are there adversarial workloads where we'll do pretty badly? I guess there would be, right?
That's one of those where it does a little bit worse than ARC.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a little bit is very subjective.
Let me go back here and look at the timelines to see what's happening.
So we have a relatively stable phase. It's not perfect, though.
Yeah.
So this is... I think this actually is the one... if you go down to the bottom...
Yeah.
Is that down to the bottom with the arc? Is this the one where we have this really weird look? Or no, this is actually rather normal. Okay. I thought it was another one. But still.
So here, why are there four different plots here?
Different granularities and different...
Oh, okay.
Actually the same cache size.
Okay. Let me look at one of these, see what's happening. So here, let's see which colors are which. Okay, the same colors.
So for the most part, stable arc and stable arc with population do pretty much the same. I don't really see any blue to indicate, okay, maybe here. That's best I can see. For where they really differ at all. For the most part, they seem to be performing about the same. This situation,
the stable arc with population
is
it seems like consistently does better than stable arc without population,
at least. I think there was only one case that I can remember, but I don't remember if that was before I noticed there was an issue or after. where the stable arc without the population actually did better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember why or which one that was. Bad part about trying to constantly be on memory. There shouldn't be any reason, but...
Well, the only reason I can think of is that if you populate, that means you would have to evict. You may have to evict at some point in the future. If you don't populate, then that eviction possibility goes away.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe that was just a lucky break for the stable arc at that point.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember which case it was, though. I don't know if it was Project One or not.
Let me see. Let me look at it.
Is that it? Slightly better. No, that's slightly worse. Okay. So this is one where obviously the stable arcs did a little bit worse. Maybe it was this. That stable arc had better evictions, but that's to be expected.
By the way, I guess there is a way to instrument the simulator to tell us which of the evictions were dirty evictions.
Well, we could always include the rights and the evictions from the actual code will then tell us if it's dirty or not. All it does is take some time to do what we have to include read or write information. Because the code that we have does already implement stuff with that. Just by default, it's just read.
I'm trying to think that one of the motivations to not populate was to not evict. But another motivation to not populate was to simply reduce the traffic to the cache. Write traffic, especially the write traffic, population means a write.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using something like a flash-based cache, or even future non-volatile memory caches, the writes are, first of all, they're slower, and also they reduce the endurance of the device. So
true.
All of these factors work or suggest that you'd much rather not populate than populate. So this optimization that we turn on, although it doesn't change evictions, well, actually it might even change evictions, but it certainly changes populations.
Okay.
Which is the amount of writes that are made to the cache.
So
unless there is a significant benefit of that optimization, we have to rethink the optimization, or at least how we sell the optimization, whether it's a real optimization or not.
So pretty much figure out a way to measure the number of writes as well?
No, what I'm trying to say here is there are two separate things, right? Earlier I was talking about figuring out, you know, of the total number of evictions, how many are dirty evictions. Because dirty evictions require reading from the flash
and
writing to storage, which is a significantly more expensive operation than just, you know, pretending that the data doesn't exist in the flash and simply overwriting. There's eviction. A clean eviction has pretty much no cost.
Yeah. So technically, by us not evicting, we have possibility of having more dirties, but we also have
more hits.
We have more hits, but we also have less likelihood of evicting early.
Yeah.
So we don't have the write back with the dirty, then get it again, and then write to it and evict again. So we might get over to lower those type of cases.
I'm not entirely sure which version of the optimization you're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying by lowering the number of evictions in any ways, that situation will happen less.
Hmm.
So, potentially less.
Yeah. That's true.
So, that's one of the things that I think we've definitely hoped for.
I think, for instance, here with the stable arc and stable arc with population, you see the number of evictions go up with the stable arc with population.
Yeah, with this one.
I think with pretty much everyone, you'll see that the stable arc with population does the same or worse than the stable arc without population. Because when you populate, you add more stuff, then become candidates of
evictions. That's pretty much what it does.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure if we looked at the stuff, the graphs, we would notice blue either having a drop in the miss rate at just the right point, probably during or after population.
The other thing, what Jason was suggesting last time, is to look at the
purely
after the warm-up.
Yeah. Granted, the warm-up period for without the population
would be different.
Yeah, so either we wait until all three are definitely.
I think the warm up should be the same for all three.
Okay.
Should lead to the same state of the cache. So, which would be true for arc.
An arc with population.
An arc with population,
Yeah,
right?
Because the stable one would probably has the possibility of not being populated by that point.
Hmm.
Which is why I was concerned. But we couldn't compare it then directly after.
But beyond that point, you could...
And in fact, you technically can do that right now.
Hmm.
Since they should match up anyways.
Hmm.
Arc and arc with pop. So all you gotta do is... actually... Then you could probably subtract... Well, since right now I have an estimation, I don't really have much to, technically, if I were to do that, it would be an estimation anyways, but,
What do you mean?
Purely from where, with the set information, the where, access number-wise, that we've passed the cache being filled point is itself an estimation. And then, since that point might be in between the granularity, the information that the starting point that I pick might also be an estimate.
That's fine.
So,
I think we should be more conservative in our estimate than aggressive. That is to say that we should wait until even further, maybe 20% more accesses. 10% more accesses than where we think that the cache would have been filled up and warmed up.
Okay. So
there's no harm to doing that. Yeah. But all of these policies should start being activated at the same point in time in terms of number of accesses so that we compare apples to apples when we eventually compare hits, misses, and evictions. We should deal with the same sequence and the same number of accesses.
Yeah, that's right.
And even perhaps with initially the same cache state.
Yeah, I'm starting to think in my head about how I might be able to just run them concurrently.
Yeah. Hey, Z1. Z1, can you come back at 3:55? Yeah.
I just need to take the...
I don't have it yet. I have to print it and sign it.
3:55. Sure.
Yeah?
Thanks.
In half an hour.
Oh.
Thank you.
All
right.
Thank you.
Granted, the output information might be a little more difficult to do that way, but...
It might require you to change your simulator so that it is a two-part simulator. The first part which warms up the cache and the second part which does the actual simulation of whatever policy you specify.
Yeah, pretty much like a while loop that will populate technically two caches full.
Why would it be two caches?
So that way I can then run them at the same time. Each access, then I'll populate one just as if it was a regular arc, and then the other one I do it like the stable arc with population, and then simply be able to run both at the same time, starting from what should be the same point of population, is what I was starting to think of.
I think it might be easier than that, which is run any one policy, say the arc, and let it fill up the cache.
And then start recording information.
Then start recording information based on what policy you... So you freeze the cache state after arc fills up the cache.
Yeah.
And then forget that you're running arc. Run whatever else, whatever policy you're actually interested in.
Yeah, so that could just be... so each access, first I can check if the cache is not filled up. If it's not, then just treat it like regular arc. Otherwise, continue on with whatever policy I'm using. All right, yeah, that sounds about right. And then I can record my information after that.
Yeah, I think it would be. It might end up to be what you're expecting, which is subtracting a certain constant number from each of these numbers. But it might not be. Might not be as simple as that. So we have to find out.
True. Then again, killing T evictions and B evictions. Ooh. Those numbers are going to still be whatever numbers they're going to be.
So, Stephen, at this point, I also want you to, you know, in parallel, start working on a draft of a paper.
Okay.
Which is, and I'll tell you briefly, you know, how to go about thinking of the presentation, right, of the material in the paper. You want to think about the paper as a book, as a storybook, basically. You're telling a story to the reader. And the story, you want to start off by saying, well, first of all, maybe giving an overview of the problem area, which is caching and how important it is, right? And why it is important. Then talking about this new class of caches that are not in the data plan, and the problems that these new class of caches have, which is the additional cost of cache population. Then you can talk about existing cache replacement algorithms and how they do not necessarily take this into account, which is the additional cost of cache population, because the existing cache replacement algorithms are designed for caches that are in the data path, right? You need to somehow get to the key insight that motivates this work, which is that, you know, when you have caches that contain a subset of a stable working set, then in this regard, you know, there is previous work on CPU caches that already looks at this problem in a maybe, you know, from a slightly different perspective, and I'll forward you a paper that that talks about this. It's called DIP, I think, the dynamic insertion policy, where it's the insertion, where the paper talks about how insertion policy, cache insertion policy, is actually very important. Turns out to be the case for CPU caches also, right? And even caches in the data path, it turns out to be important. Um, So I guess to go into the key insight is when you have a stable working set, then what one way to present this is to say that a fraction of the accesses end up missing the cache. But that fraction could be either 100% or very low, right? When we looked at that figure, depending on what you choose to retain in the cache. If you choose to retain a subset of that stable working set all the time in the cache, then you get the benefit of hits because of that that subset. So, I'm not saying it very well. But we need to get to that key insight somehow. So think about how you can present it, and having pictures sometimes is worth 1,000 words. So once you've motivated that, then you need to start talking about some, maybe introducing some terms like stable phases. What is a phase? What is a stable phase? And even before that, what's the working set? Those sorts of concepts. So I'll send you a couple of papers that it might be good for you to reference and read to get a sense for how to, you know, think of some of these terms. We don't want to reinvent existing terms, but rather reuse the terms that already exist. Maybe if we need to invent additional terms, that's fine, because they're new, right? Mm-hmm. Right, so, and then, so once you've motivated the key insight, then you start presenting the simple change to existing policies. And we want to sell this as a class of algorithms, where you can plug in any policy that you may care about, and this class of algorithms automatically modifies the cache policy to take into account the principle of stability. Right? So, I mean, these are all the thoughts in my mind right now, so in terms of presenting, you know, what we have, and then at some point we start discussing the data we have. But before we get to the data, I think it's important to have a good discussion of what this new class of algorithms do, why they're important, what is the... We already talked about the motivation, but also potential benefit, benefits of having this new class of algorithms that do not necessarily populate the cache, and one of which is reduced evictions. But also, reduced population is a benefit for caches that are less tolerant to significant amount of write traffic. So those are some of the ideas, and what I want you to think about is like a storyline which connects all of these ideas together, and some and presents it in a form that you have to put yourself in the reader's shoe. Someone who doesn't know any of this work would be able to understand as well. So, more of a computer scientist, but a layman with respect to all the work that you have done. So, how do you present it to them? How do you motivate it? Okay, I did this, but why did you do it? What was the thought process? So, walking the reader through the thought process of the research, involved in the research, I think that's really important when you write a research paper. A lot of the research papers that you end up reading are just, you know, sort of an account of, okay, here's what we did. Figure out which of it is important, right? I think well-written papers are also well-read. And well-written papers are often those that tell a good story well. I think that's really what you need to keep in mind. And given the fact that you've had experience reading papers, some of which are good, some of which are bad, you have a natural inclination to present material in a certain way based on your reading experience. But at the same time, you have to also take into account, okay, if there was a reader who didn't know any of this, how would he react to the material? Right? I think that's the more difficult part, just to put yourself in the reader's shoe when you write.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I want you to start constructing, let's say, you know, some sort of an outline. And when I say outline, let's start with a, you know, high level storyline, just not too detailed, but maybe, you know, has 6 bullet points. 6 to 8, let's say, bullet points. And each bullet point is maybe 1 or 2 sentences. But it tells the story of the paper, that the intended plan regarding the story of the paper. And I think we are at a point where we should start talking about the paper.
Hmm.
And whatever I said, you know, is part of this. Bits and pieces of the storyline may not be the best set of things to talk about or even the right sequence. So I want you to spend time thinking about what according to you is the right way to do it. And then, you know, certainly you'll get feedback from me, you'll get feedback from Jason, and hopefully, you know, because of that, we'll have something better. How does that sound?
It sounds like the right one to take.
Okay.
In reference to
the experiments, the warm up, doing the warm up,
trying to take out
compensation, and what other optimizations have you thought about? You know, as you were, do you see anything else? I mean, does the threshold change the numbers quite a bit?
It doesn't really look like it changes the numbers very much, not from what I could tell. I'd actually originally run the all these results with the 100 before I went, whoops, I forgot to put it to 95.
Hmm.
And then looking at them again afterwards, didn't see much change for some of them. I don't think I saw any change, really.
Okay.
But that might just be because it was either up higher or just anywhere below that point anyways. So
also I want us to think more about the granularity and whether the granularity has any significant impact on.
Well, you can see with the source 2.1, the change in granularity definitely affects how well it was able to find the right spot to start turning off the cache.
You mean
right there, where we see the drop?
Yeah.
Compared to the 8,000, was it? Where it's, these actually pretty much match. Depending
on looking at here, this is the 1,000, right?
Mm-hmm. So you see that both the stable arc and the stable arc with population both drop right there.
It off. Yeah. But how do I know this is the right place to stop, to turn off the cache? Because it's aligned with the...
If we go up, it's pretty much aligned with the point where...
Here.
Yeah. A little bit after,
because
it takes about...
1,000.
Yeah.
Or a few 1,000s.
Yeah,
before
it takes about 3,000. They grant nearly 1,000 to really notice.
But what about this guy here?
That would require 24,000 to recognize. And it might have been too late by the time it started to do anything. Because at that point it was probably potentially recycling just stuff that was probably called once or anything like that.
Still,
or it was much farther away. So, I mean,
this is quite interesting. So, the lower granularity seems to do better It would be good to see if that is true across all the workloads, at the lower granularity. Especially with the population optimization.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how all these would work in general with all the rest. I mean, these were the special cases for the LRU with thresholding that we looked at prior. But I'm curious as to how the results would go for all of our traces right now.
Yeah.
So I figure that'd eventually be a next step, but the amount of code that could potentially take scripting wise and the amount of time it'll take as well to test out each different cache size and granularity.
Yeah, I think once you get some level of automation with your cache population, you know, the initial warm-up, then you know, once you've settled that, then you can run a whole bunch more workloads.
Yeah.
Because I think you need to automate it somehow.
I've been trying to automate. I have about probably 20 scripts on just the computer I have, just doing graphs and getting trying to extract some information at times.
No, I'm saying the warm-up phase, automating the warm-up phase instead of doing it visually, I think.
Oh, the best way I could probably think of doing that is just do the build-up to the...
Using the conventional policy, right? Like an ARC or LRU, whatever it is.
Yeah, just conventional ARC. Pretty much just an if-else statement.
Yeah.
And then actually that removes one of the conditions for the stable LRU's stable ARCs. If condition for whether or not we're going to access and still use it.
Mm-hmm.
So, then it just becomes stable ARC again for testing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, this is good, and it's good to have this plot, especially because this tells us about stability.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I originally had it individualized with all this extra information talking about which local block number we were accessing and how many of those have already happened. But that was 13 gigabytes of information. So it wound up being let's not use that. So wound up just getting the amount and access number and have it be every 500 to decrease the amount of information and the size.
So this is very interesting, right? This is the one workload where there's significant benefit from stability.
Yeah.
I mean, it's three orders of six orders of magnitude more hits.
It's
sorry, 6x, not 6 orders, 6x.
Yeah.
That's what, 6 orders.
I mean, most likely has to do is just simply how long the percentage of, like, if we go back and look at the workload, just the percentage that's actually, you know what, I probably should have included where the population would have gone full. By the way, the population gets full about here or so, I think.
Yeah.
And
then you keep adding more stuff.
And then it becomes pretty stable right there.
Mm.
And then if you look at the amount that's stable versus not stable, and to think that right about where the cache is full, that's probably about where you start seeing some difference between the stable and the not stable ARCs and LRUs.
Yeah.
The difference starts to make some sense.
Yeah.
Granted, the LRU didn't seem to really benefit too much by comparison to the ARC stable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is good. This is a very promising workload for us.
At that granularity and that cache size.
At that granularity. Well, the one thing which is
why I don't get why the at 8,000 granularity it's such an issue and doesn't seem to improve. I mean, it improves, I think, but not by much.
Actually, not really. It doesn't improve.
Yeah. It pretty much performs the same at that point. So there was like a, how do I say it?
Maybe a little better, but not by too much.
Yeah, there was just some type of moment that I missed in that situation, it seems. Don't know what situation, but it's interesting nonetheless.
But yeah, but that's unusual, right? Because there you just need 24,000 accesses for that other guy to know that, okay, I'm in a stable phase.
So,
right?
I mean, if we look at the threshold miss rate thing back up
with
the 1,000, you can see all these, and technically it misses a good amount of potentially what's there.
Yeah.
So, it actually...
So what is it that's happening with that, with the 8,000 granularity? Why doesn't it turn things off here? It should be turning it off right about here. Instead of here, it should be turning it off here, right?
The best I've got is that the change either wasn't enough, and let's not forget that the miss rate is above 100 still. So it stayed consistently there, and it didn't really...
Oh.
So we might have just averaged out any of the amount of benefit that we had.
So the miss
significantly
rate is
enough?
Close,
I don't know.
To 100.
I'm trying to figure it out right now. But there's
something
that we've got to be filtering out by accident, information-wise, that might show us that... I mean, whether it's the 195 or whatever, or something else, it could be potentially just something like that, just messing with our numbers at the moment.
So here, for instance, the number of unique axes is 300,000, right? Make this a little bigger. About 300,000.
Okay, yeah.
And these are, how big are each axis? 4K?
Yeah, 4K.
4K. So that's about 300,000 times 4K, that's 12 gigabytes.
Uh-huh.
How big is the cache? 8 gigabytes? No. 1
gigabyte. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 1.2 gigabytes, not 12 gigabytes, 1.2 gigabytes.
Ah, yeah.
So 1 gigabyte, so which means 20% doesn't fit, approximately.
Essentially, yeah, for that spot. So 20% doesn't fit.
But, although only 20% doesn't fit, your miss rate is still close to 100%. That's the
so yeah the potential for what cycling just a little bit too big.
Yeah. Arc has this problem when this is the problem with Arc. Although Arc is great at eliminating streaming accesses and things like that, but you have a working set where everything is accessed pretty much approximately the same, then it doesn't know how to prioritize. Matter of fact is that you cannot prioritize this because everything is equally important. So you're best off by not doing any replacement. You just, let's say, in some sense, locking a portion of your data in the cache.
And that's what's happening with the 1,000 granularity, because we turn it off fast enough to take the benefit of not replacing the stuff that's already in there.
Yeah.
Constantly. Okay.
But Arc doesn't know how to do that. It has no way to do it, right? All this keeps continuously churning.
Yeah. So for all this time, Arc is actually off. Within stable.
Yeah.
How's
it going?
No problem.
We were just admiring the numbers.
Numbers.
Did you look at this? Look
this
at this
one case, yeah.
This one case, which is quite interesting.
One case, which? What do you mean?
One workload, which is very interesting.
You got this.
So this is Arc, right?
Yeah.
Purple. The stable Arc. You look at the hits. This is Arc, the stable Arc.
Yeah.
And stable Arc with population that is compensating for. Well, this tells me that there's probably not a whole lot of benefit for populating the cache if there is space. Evictions are much lower, hits are much better.
What is this case?
This is one of the workloads.
What is the workload?
Source 2.1?
Source 2.1.
Which is?
Which I'll tell you, we were just looking at what's going on with Source 2.1. Okay, Source 2.1 has, you know, starts adding data to the cache until it gets to about 1.2 gigabytes, maybe a little less. Okay?
Well, what is y-axis?
Y-axis is the unique number of accesses. Number of unique accesses.
Okay.
So it adds 1.2 gigabytes. It accesses 1.2 gigabytes, and then it keeps reaccessing the same set over and over again.
Yeah.
No new data being accessed beyond this point for a long period of time, for several more accesses. The size of the cache is 1 gigabyte.
And what's the y-axis? What's the size?
Oh, ignore the...
This is 1.2 gigabytes.
Ignore the granularity thing. That's actually an error of mine. It's not meant to be there.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but it's not supposed to be there for that.
I see. Yeah, so that's what is happening here. You have 1 gigabyte cache, you access 1.2 gigabytes, and then you keep accessing the same 1.2 gigabytes over and over again, which means there is a lot of churn.
Well, you can't see that from this.
You can't see it from here, but
right.
What you can see is that the same set, there is no additional data that was accessed.
Right, but you don't know whether that additional data is coming from the...
From all of it or some portion of it.
Right, yeah.
The reason you know it's coming from everything is because if you look at the arc...
A little farther, yeah.
This one? So the green is arc. It stays at 100% miss rate for that entire duration.
100%
miss
rate.
Arc.
What does arc do?
Well, arc is a replacement algorithm, but
according
to arc, no single item is more important than any other item because they're all being accessed with the same frequency, let's say. So it keeps churning continuously.
Do we have IRU here?
LRU, yeah, I think it's there in the previous slide, but it's similar. I think LRU would be similar.
Yeah, there wasn't much difference there.
Yeah.
So this is a miss rate?
Yeah.
But a stable LRU, because it sees that the miss rate is stable, it shuts off replacement. And that immediately the miss rate drops to a really small fraction. And this fraction is proportional to the amount of items that didn't fit in the cache.
Well, actually... The miss rate had to have dropped and stayed there for the three periods necessary first.
Yeah.
Before
it
would turn
off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it had done that, switched off, and then stayed there for a very long time.
And then at some point, it sees miss rate changing again.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a significant enough change, it turns
then
it back
turns,
on.
Then it turns it back on.
What happens with the... ARC in that case.
Well, arc
it dips and then what? I can't see the green lines between that.
Oh, the green goes up for the same.
Up. It becomes the same for
same as the purple
the
line.
End.
Oh, okay.
Almost until the end. Yeah.
So it's not no worse, right? So that's important.
No worse, and misses are much better actually.
And this
few much fewer misses.
Yeah,
you see, there is a 6x improvement.
Right, well, yeah. Anybody
right.
knows what's the nature of this trace?
That's what we are...
We understand the trace is actually trying to creating the terms for a working load size larger
than the size
than
of the cache.
Right?
But just a little bit more. This is the best case, actually. It's just
a little
bit
more
than the cache size.
Yeah. So
but everything is equally important.
Right. Yes. It's very strange. So it would be more direct if we can actually see the working set somehow.
You're looking at the size of all the items accessed.
Yeah,
so you're saying the identity of all the pages?
Well, not just identity, because we need a time variant sort of LRU can tell that, right? LRU, if you LRU set it to be 1 gig, that's one behavior.
if you set to 1.2 gig, it's one behavior.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that between 1 gig and 1
gig... Oh, you're talking about a miss rate curve.
Yes, basically.
Miss rate curve.
So,
as you change
so I
the
just...
Size.
Right, yeah. Just want to try to find out what is the working set. Because that's the indicator for this. So that's the sort of a trying to get evidence why... Is, I mean, we speculate that's what happens by looking at the curve and reason about it. I think if we just to take a look at the miss rate curve or whatever it is,
yeah,
that's a direct...
yeah, in fact, the miss rate curve is one of the ways to motivate what we are doing. You know, a miss rate curve that has a knee beyond the size of the cache size,
yeah.
beyond the size of the cache, then whatever overflow you have is going to churn in the cache. Right? So by retaining only the portion of items that are a fraction of the working set in the cache and locking it in place, we guarantee the hits of those items.
Right.
In fact, this phenomenon cannot be addressed by a cache replacement algorithm. You need a cache replacement on-off policy or on-off trigger to do this. Because any cache replacement algorithm, the way it behaves is that it just prioritizes various things.
Yeah.
It says that, okay, this is important because frequently accessed, this is important because recently accessed, well, I'm going to consider both of them, I'm going to consider combinations or various different metrics, but I'm always going to put things on some metric and prioritize my items and then choose which to evict.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if all items, no matter what policy you pick or no matter what metric you pick, are equally important, then the cache replacement algorithm cannot do
it. It's a risk you take, right? It's calculated risk. Right?
Yeah.
So you say everything is important, so that's why you turn it off, right? You turn it off and so on, don't replace it. For replacing it is not really giving me any benefit. And in most other situations, it would actually give you a benefit, right? So the issue here is how to actually, you know, get that calculated risk, right? So why is the case that in this case is a benefit? Of course, that's by looking at the stability behavior,
yeah.
Right? You look at the stability of the that's the right.
Yeah. So,
can we sort of say something about the nature of the trace? Because that's obviously the trace has to be coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have data? Where is it coming from? What process that driven it, or anything that?
Give me the source for these. I mean, some of them are pretty obvious, like proxy. User, but I don't know which one the source would be.
So let me ask you this: that's 1.2, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sort of see
or something like that.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any cache size that we played and see what the significance would that be? I mean,
we also have 8 gigabytes cache size here.
Eight doesn't really change anything.
That's 8,000 granularity,
oh.
Not 8 gigabytes.
Oh yeah.
Not for that one.
Do you have a smaller, say, cache size? The reason I'm saying is that's, as you said, that's like a perfect scenario.
Perfect
for,
scenario, yeah.
Right? So everything is important. Is it a larger working set?
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But if, say, 1.2 becomes, say, one is the cache size, 1.2, the ratio is, now it's 1.2 to 1. What about 2 to 1?
We have that too, I think. Here, we have some stability here, for instance, and this is 500 times 4, so this is 2 gigabytes. At this point, you have 2 gigabytes, and oh, but you have a 2 gigabyte cache as well.
What happened? Let's just speculate that situation where you're using the same trace, 1.2, that working set trace.
Yeah.
And what happened if you have a cache size of 0.6? What would happen
if you have a cache size of 0.6?
If you have a cache size of 0.6 and you have a 2 gigabyte...
1.2, like the same trace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So then what would happen is that if you your arc would be 100% missing.
Still missing, because that's there's nothing you can do about it.
There's the hit rate of the... of the stable arc, instead of being 90% or 95%, will become 50%.
50%, right? Yeah. So because everything is equally important.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. So...
so these sort of anomalies, I think, where stable without population does worse than arc, and stable with population does better than ARC, will go away if you do warm-out.
Yeah.
Oh, these are where we have done this.
These are without warm-up.
Without a warm-up, right?
So we do not eliminate warm-up. So that's one of the things
that
Stephen is going to do next.
Right, right. So yeah, we need it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we don't even get these two versions. We'll just get one of them. We'll just get stable ARC.
Yeah, you just stay working.
Because the cache will always be full.
Yeah. So use that trace. Try another cache size, like you were speculating.
Yeah.
Say reduce the cache size instead of 1 gig, give it 600K. Or 600K.
By the way, guys, I have to go. I have another meeting on Skype.
Okay. So.
But let's meet on Tuesday or Tuesday. Do we have a regular time? Tuesday?
I don't know. It's usually, what, 11?
I don't think I can do that one. Let me see.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday 11. That's what our regular time is.
Let me see. I've got too many things. 11 is fine.
Yeah, so we'll meet on Tuesday at 11.
Yeah, I calculated 11 is fine.
And I'll ask also Stephen to think about a storyline for the paper. He's going to work on that. All right, let's chat on Tuesday then.
All right,
sounds good. Thank you. Nice work, Steve.